Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? It's great to see each and every one of you. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church, and we're just so thankful to have each and every one of you with us. Let's give all of our guests another big round of applause. Thank you so much for being here today. It's such a great day. Well, I want to just give you a couple announcements before we jump in. First of all, earlier the team just took a couple minutes to just express their appreciation to Shyla and I for pastor appreciation. And I know that many of you contributed into that. And so just from the bottom of our heart, Shyla and I, we just say thank you. Thank you for that. And we just want you to let you know that it is such a great joy and honor and privilege to pastor you. And so if Lifeway is your church home, I just want you to know that we love you. We're thankful so much for you. I know every time I run into someone in the lobby before service or after service, the question is, what's going on with the building, right? How many of you want to know kind of what's going on with the building? Well, the reason I've not been giving you much information is if you've ever walked through a process like this with all the government procedures and just all the paperwork and all the inspections, it's kind of like I've been describing, it's like taking 6 steps forward and then like 8 back and then 3 forward and 2 back. And but I do want to let you know that this past Tuesday, we met the Common Council in the city of West Dallas, and they approved our special use permit, which is required for all houses of worship, all meeting places. And so that now is taken care of. So there's a few more things that have to fall into place. And so here's what I want to let you know. The next couple of weeks are super, super important. And so if you will be praying, how many of you will pray with me that just God's will be done? All right. We had an amazing meeting with a lender this week. And so we're just believing that God's going to just open all the right doors. And as soon as I have more information to tell you, I will be the first to let you know, because I've been telling Shyla I'm so excited about the prospect of a new building, but it's become such an overwhelming thing in my life. I just said, one way or the other, I just want it to know what's happening. You know, let it be yes or let it be no, but just let's have an answer. So I know all of you are anxious as well. So if you'll help me and be praying about that, I would be so greatly appreciative. And like I said, as soon as we know more, we will be filling you in on that. Well, I want to take a moment before we jump into the message and give a big welcome to our online audience. We appreciate our online audience. Come on, cheer nice and loud. You guys are a little sedated today. Come on. We love our online audience and are so, so thankful for you. I was actually able to speak to a lady who found our church online, and she was going through some difficult things, and I was able to suggest a series that we had done in the past to kind of help her, and we probably shared 15 emails throughout the week. And so, man, it just excites me to know that the ministry of this church goes beyond the walls of whatever room we happen to be meeting in. And so we're just thankful for all of you that are on our online audience. Today, here's what I'm gonna tell you is sometimes, you know, we get into the fall and it gets dark a little bit early, and you know, we're not sleeping as well, or maybe, you know, not sleeping enough. And so we're kind of just, come on, somebody just shake it off, you know, come on. You know, come on, pat yourself on the face, wake yourself up, all right? Here's the deal. I will try not to be a boring preacher if you'll promise not to be a boring audience, right? So will we work together today? All right, we're gonna have a good time today. Well, we're going to be continuing this morning our 4-part message series entitled Man in the Mirror. In your service guide, there's a sermon outline. I encourage you to take that out, follow along with us, take some notes. It's also available in digital form on our church app. But what I've discovered in my life is that the reflection that I see when I look into the mirror is often not what I hoped to see. And I'm not just talking about my looks and some of that here. I'm growing bigger here and, you know, instead of stronger up here. But it's not really what I'm referring to. I got a little less hair than I did, you know, 10 years ago. But really, when I look in the mirror, it's the internal thing. Right? It's those things that I wish I would be further along. And while I'm grateful for the fact that I'm not who and what I used to be, I recognize this fact that I've not quite yet arrived at who I want to be. Anybody ever been there before? Amen. And so in this series, we're sharing tools to help us, the person in the mirror, to be everything that we are called to be. And so our key passage for this series is found in James chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. It says this. It says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and he immediately forgets what he looks like." It's kind of a lot like, you know, you'd get up in the morning or maybe after dinner and you're getting ready to go to an evening appointment. You just had a great dinner with all kinds of spinach, right? And you go into the mirror and you look and you got that big piece of spinach. Like, you guys know, I'm not the only one, right? Well, could you imagine going and seeing that and just walking away and not doing something about it? That's what this scripture is really saying. And so, in other words, we see something we don't like that God, through the course of his word, has shown us, but we don't do anything to change it. If I were to interview each of you and ask this question, what do you want to accomplish with your life? Most responses would be centered around similar themes. Things like having good health, good relationships, becoming closer to God, making a difference, being financially strong and generous. There's nobody in this room who would say, my goal is to struggle financially. One day I dream of being able to live paycheck to paycheck. One day I want to be so broke that every time my spouse buys something, we get into a fight about what she bought or he bought. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I'm not the only family that's happened in, right? Nobody would ever say, you know what, I hope to gain 5 pounds a year for the next 20 years. So that in the later years of my life, I can struggle with my health. Nobody says, my 5-year goal is to become an addict. I want to destroy my marriage. I want to hurt my children. I want to mess up all of the important relationships in my life. Nobody graduates from high school or college and says, you know what? I want to spend all of my days working at a dead-end job doing something that I hate. No one ever says, I want to live a passionless life. No one ever says, I'd like to spend the last hours of my life lamenting, grieving over all of the regret that I have. Nobody would share any of these things as their goal. It's also interesting to me that almost no one ruins their life because of one single bad decision. The vast majority of people who ruin their lives, they do so by taking one small step, one poor decision, one day at a time. And what happens is that over the course of time, they end up in a place, a bad place, that they never intended to be. Have you ever noticed that when summarizing the life of someone whose life has completely unraveled, their stories are often boiled down to one sentence? Anybody ever kind of notice that or think about it? You know, people will say things like, well, she fell into sin. She cheated on her husband, and now they're getting a divorce, almost as if it happened out of the blue one day, when all actuality, the roots of being unfaithful started months and months and perhaps even years earlier with numerous small and at the time seemingly insignificant decisions. People will say things like, oh, well, he struggled with his weight and he died of heart failure at the age of 58, summarized in one sentence. Yet it was decades of poor eating. It was decades of him or them choosing not to take care of their body, all summarized in one sentence. He took shortcuts at work. He was irresponsible, so the company fired him. But in all actuality, he didn't get fired because of one bad day on the job. It was a series of decisions. And while people often summarize the results of bad decisions in one sentence, it's rarely ever just one event. In fact, in Judges 16, you can read one of these profound one-sentence summaries about a man named Samson. And Samson, like all of us, was a child that was born with incredible God-given purpose and potential. Yet Samson, not because of one simple bad decision, but rather years of a wrong step here and a bad habit there, one day at a time, he ended up with a life that completely fell apart. If you know the story of Samson, at the end of his days, he was brought up to rescue the Israelites. He was brought up to be what the Bible refers to as a judge. And he had all these great exploits, but at the end of his days, he was actually chained up like an animal, grinding the mill like an oxen would, with his eyes gouged out of his head. But watch this verse. Judges 16 verse 1 succinctly says, watch this, one sentence. One day, Samson went to the Philistine town of Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute. One sentence. This one verse summarizes this downward trajectory of this man who was so incredibly gifted by God. Gaza was the headquarters of Samson's sworn enemies, the Philistine. It was located 25 miles from his hometown. In order to travel to Gaza, Samson had to be willing to put his life at risk. And because there were no cars and no taxi, there was no Uber service, Samson didn't have many options to make that journey. And so for the sake of discussion, let's assume that he walked the 25 miles into enemy territory, risking his life to get a little sugar. Well, what do you call it? You want something more blunt? Well, we would incredulously say, well, I would never do something like that. The truth is that people make choices like this each and every day. It took Samson approximately 56,250 steps to walk those 25 miles. Samson didn't ruin his life by making one bad decision. Rather, he took 56,250 steps in a direction that led to his destruction. Most people don't wreck their lives all at once. They do it by making one bad decision, one wrong step, one bad habit, one day at a time. And so this morning, as we talk about the man or the woman in the mirror and becoming all that God has created us to be, it is essential that we address the negative habits in our lives that are leading us down the wrong path. And in some cases, leading us down a path towards destruction. And so my key question this morning for you, What one habit, unhealthy habit, unhelpful habit, maybe it's even an ungodly habit, one habit is taking you to a place that ultimately you do not want to go? James 1:21, prior to the verses we just read a moment ago, we read it last week, it says this, so get rid of all filth and evil in your lives. And humbly accept the word that God has planted in your hearts. Watch this. For it has the power to save your souls. This word is filled with power. And so this morning, what one habit? What's that thing that always seems to drag you down that you need to eliminate? And listen, I believe that most of us in this room instantly, as soon as I brought this subject up, you already know what the one area is. And so the first thing we must do is we must acknowledge it, because we cannot defeat what we are unwilling to acknowledge, what we are unwilling to define. Now you might be sitting here saying, well, shoot, Andrew, you know, I've got like 18 of them, right? All right, listen, start with the worst one, because if we try to tackle all of them, we won't tackle any of them. So start with the worst one and move forward. For some of us, it's a problem with a bad attitude. Some of us, it's a complaining heart. Others, it's a gossiping tongue. Still others, it's lying. For others, it's an eating issue. Too many snacks, too much chocolate, too much sugar. You stress eat, and honestly, you're out of control. You're eating yourself to death. Perhaps it's a technology addiction. Yeah, I'm going there today. Video games. Your mobile device. Some of us are literally frittering the best hours of our lives, spending time looking at screens, looking at people that don't care anything about us. Maybe it's a substance. Maybe you're addicted to nicotine. Maybe it's an illegal drug. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's prescription medication. Whatever it may be, based on the person that you desire to see, when you stand in front of the mirror, what is the one habit that you need to break? Have you ever noticed that good habits are so hard to start and bad habits are so hard to break? Anybody know what I'm talking about? A good habit is so challenging at first because the payoff, the win, is not immediate. The determined result is unknown other than the fact that it will happen somewhere out in the future. And so we tell ourselves, all right, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to work out, and your alarm goes off that first, second, or third morning and you're sore and you're tired. And honestly, for the first several weeks, you don't see any result. You actually feel worse than you did before you started. But what happens if you keep at it consistently several months later, you'll recognize, oh my goodness, I've lost 12 pounds. I'm getting muscles. Wow, right? Yeah, somebody agrees. While difficult at first, the payoff is somewhere out in the future. In a spiritual sense, you decide to get committed, you decide to get plugged in, you decide to get involved in God's house and in the local church. And it can be difficult at first because that alarm goes off early on a Sunday morning, which is your only day to sleep in. Somebody say amen, I know what you're talking about, right? And you think, oh man, why in the world did I sign up to do this? Why did I say yes? And if that isn't bad enough, then you're trying to get your kids up and they're crabby and they're tired. And why in the world? And while you don't see an initial payoff, this is what happens. Ask anyone on the team. A year later, you wake up one morning and you begin to reflect. I had no idea that God could use me. I had no idea that I could ever be this close to God. I'm filled with peace. I'm making a difference. I'm living a fulfilled life. I've made amazing friends. My life is so blessed. We don't see the results initially. And while difficult at first, it took some time and the payoff is out in the future. But bad habits, on the other hand, they're completely the opposite. Because there's a perceived benefit almost immediately. It can be so much fun to do what's wrong at first. Come on, somebody, say amen, right? You're not sinning right if it ain't fun at first. Our heart gets racing. Our desires get filled. But then we're left empty. And that first hit, whatever it might be, wasn't enough. And we've got to keep going back for more and more and more and more to continue that high. And while there's instant gratification, the negative payoff doesn't happen until the future. It can seem fun as a married man to connect to an old high school flame via social media. And it isn't long before you allow your mind to go places that it has no business going. And you begin to rekindle that relationship and your heart starts to flutter and it begins to skip a beat and you feel alive. You're like, I'm in love. You're in lust. It's not love. There's a perceived instant benefit, but rest assured that the day is coming when there will be a negative payoff. Because what you sow is what you're going to reap. And that payoff is you've jeopardized or you've lost your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your reputation, your ministry. Listen, it can seem so easy, but rest assured that sin always takes you further than you intended to go, and it will cost you way more than you ever intended to pay. That's the truth this morning. And so I want to talk for a few minutes. How do you break a bad habit? How do you break a bad habit? So let me give you some things here. Our focus should be, our intention should be to make the habit difficult. Make the habit difficult to accomplish. Make it as difficult as possible to accomplish. Here's the thing. All of us in this room, we only have so much willpower. Just like our ability to make decision wanes as we make decisions. How many of you have been in like one of those all-day meetings and by 4 o'clock you're like good for nothing, right? Like I have thought as much as my thinker can think. I have no more to go. So just like our ability to make decision wanes as we make decisions, just like our energy depletes as we exert energy, so does our willpower. And we've all seen this play out in our lives. We fight certain things off. We'll say, God, I'll never do this again. And we fight it off and we fight it off. But then we get tired of fighting and we have a bad day and we just give in to that temptation. Anybody ever been there before? And so the proper response to our areas of struggle is to make it difficult, if not impossible, to accomplish. Proverbs 4:14 tells us, do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of evildoers. Verse 15, avoid it, do not travel on it, turn from it and go on your way. This is really saying, don't even walk near the thing that you're trying to avoid. Don't even set your foot on the pathway. Research has proven that every bad habit starts with a cue. It starts with a trigger. And the trigger directs us to the improper response. And the trigger leads us to an action that is followed by whatever the perceived reward might be. The reward is that high or the buzz or the dopamine hit or the fun, the pleasure, whatever it might be. So to break our habits, we need to remove what triggers us to move in the wrong direction. We need to eliminate it. We need to avoid the road, to interrupt the action. And so there are five major triggers that I want you to be aware of, that we need to be aware of. This is super practical today. This is about as practical as it's going to be. Five major triggers to be aware of that have an effect on our behavior. The first one, number one, next look in your outline, is a place. Everybody say a place. For most of us in this room, there is a specific place where we consistently end up doing the wrong things or caving into the bad habits. Likewise, there are other places where you would never even consider acting out on whatever that thing might be. For example, most of us wouldn't go to our local gym to work out and overeat and pig out. Most of us probably wouldn't walk into church with a flask and get hammered while the service is going on. You wouldn't overeat at the gym or get wasted at church, but you might do both of those things at a party with the wrong people. See the difference? It's a place. The second trigger, number two, is a time. It's a time. Most people would never consider looking at pornography on their mobile device while sitting in life group. But late at night, when you're mad at your spouse, or when you're feeling lonely or bored, that's the time. Time and place matter so much. So we need to make sure that if there's a time and place that trigger us, we need to not put ourselves into those positions. Make sense? King David in the Old Testament made one of the worst horrible mistakes that you'll read about in the Bible. And the story can really be summarized with the common phrase that we've all heard. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I want you to understand, David wasn't a bad man. He loved God with all of his heart. God called him a man after his own heart. Listen, you're not a bad person if you continue to fall into sin and you continue to stay stuck in your bad habits. Listen, you can genuinely love God, but if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, it's likely that you're going to end up finding yourself doing something that you never intended or never wanted to do. And so David, King David, who loved God, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And if that wasn't bad enough, he ended up having her husband murdered to hide the fact. I want you to listen to this first verse in the story. It says, in the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. Watch this. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. When he wasn't at war, when he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing, he ended up bored and he was up on his rooftop watching his neighbor's wife take a bath. The wrong place, the wrong time, led him to seeing something he shouldn't have seen, which led him to doing something that he shouldn't have done. And as you read through the story, it ended up costing him more than he could have ever imagined. Listen, if there's a place or a time where you find yourself vulnerable, we need to remove those triggers from our lives. We need to have someone that we can be accountable to. And I can pick up the phone and say, hey, Scott, I need you to pray for me. Would you come over and spend some time with me? Because I'm struggling right now. Remove the triggers from our lives. The third one, number three, is certain moods. Certain moods. We've all experienced this. We're more vulnerable when we're in a certain mood. Experts will teach this acronym. It's called HALT. Hungry, angry. Most of us put those together. We call it hangry, right? Anybody here ever get hangry, right? Like we're miserable people, right? Hangry. Hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And so when we're in those moods, right, we can be way more vulnerable. So we need to work to, hey, eat something, all right? Just chill out, eat something. You guys are so serious today, wow. Here's the fourth one. Number four is certain moments. Certain moments. There are moments that occur in our lives that lead us to do the very things that we don't want to do. So you might be getting in a fight with your husband. And so what do? The common response, you pick up the phone and call all of your girlfriends and have a husband bashing party. Come on. Man, don't be doing that, ladies. Let me just help you there. But that's what we fall into because that's what we do every time we have a fight with our husband. Or men, you go to the game or to the local Wingstop to watch the game with the guys and you drink too much. You did it last time, you did it this time, and if you don't remove yourself from the moment, you're going to do it the next time. Listen, it's important that we learn to recognize the moments that trigger us and distance ourselves from them. And then here's the last one. This one is hard. This one hurts. But it's so important. For many of us, the trigger is certain people. Certain people. Don't be hitting your wife right now, your husband, if they're sitting next to you, all right? That series is coming up in February. Just stick around. We'll go through that. Listen, the wrong people can be triggers that lead us in a bad direction. Just like the right people can be triggers to lead us in the right direction. Studies have proven that the closer you are to someone, the more likely you are to develop their habits. One study tracked 12,000 people over a 32-year period, and they discovered some incredible things. One of the things they discovered is that if you have one friend, one close friend who is significantly overweight, you are 57% more likely to be overweight as well. On the other hand, if you have a friend that loses a significant amount of weight, one of the three closest friends to that individual will also lose a significant amount of weight. Watch this. Proverbs 13:20 tells us, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools, watch this, suffers harm. Want wisdom or do you want harm? We become like the people that we run around with. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's almost impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. Now listen, don't hear what I'm not saying. As followers of Jesus, we are to be a light to this world and to people. And we need to be friends with those who are far from Jesus. But listen, we shouldn't and don't need to partake in their filth. Paul said it this way, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. We will become like those we spend the most time with. So it's important that we learn, that we understand, that we remove the negative triggers in our lives to get us on the right path and break the habit in our life that we so desperately want broken. And so I want to make this even more practical for you, how this plays out in our lives. Let me just give you some examples. For some of you, start with an easy one. You need to decide not to hit the snooze button anymore. Any spouse is ready to say amen. You can say amen right there. Right? You've been feeling led to get up and spend some time with God in devotion, you know, soaping, worship, prayer. But you end up hitting snooze seven times. Why seven? Because that's a godly number. So you're like, okay, well, God, I didn't talk to you, but I did hit snooze seven times, right? And so you spend an extra 64 minutes. Most snoozes are 8 minutes long. I know. I'm a snoozer. 64 minutes in bed. You don't really get any good sleep, and you don't talk to God, so you don't really accomplish anything anyway. So in order to remove the trigger, take your clock or your mobile device and go put it over here. And so that way when it gets off in the morning, you got to get out of your nice warm covers. You got to get over there and turn that thing off, right? We're going to remove the trigger. Maybe you're sitting here today and you have an overspending problem, like Amazon has been the destruction of your checkbook. click, 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 click. It came to my house the next day. Click, 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 click. How did I just spend $389? We had an episode of Hoarders on, and this guy bought all this stuff online, and he said, most of it I haven't even opened. It just made me feel good to buy it. Listen, what you might need to do is you might need to call a friend who doesn't live in your home and say, hey, I'm going to give you my Amazon login. You're going to change the password, and anytime I need to buy something, I'm going to call you, right, just to make sure I'm not being crazy or stupid. Listen, you just made it more difficult, right, to act in a way that is harmful to your financial future. Well, let's say you're addicted to looking at porn on your computer, on your tablet, or on your phone. No matter what you try to do, you just can't stop. Listen, put a filter on your phone. Put tracking software on your devices that allows an accountability partner to see every website that you visit. Listen, you may have to make the choice to not have an Instagram. You will live without an Instagram. You may not be able to download apps. And listen, if you're smart enough to work around all the filters and all the things, listen, then you just might need to get a dumb phone. How many of you know what a dumb phone? You know, like the old flip phone? I actually saw one at a wedding last night. I didn't even know they existed anymore. Why? Listen, why? Purity matters so much that you're not going to let images be the thing that leads to your destruction. Some of you right now, you're up to your neck in a terrible habit that you just can't seem to shake. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe it's some sort of addiction to alcohol or drugs or prescription medicine. Maybe it's a sexual addiction. Listen, and you're in so deep. Hear me this morning. It's actually time for you to get into rehab. It's time for you to own up to it and say, listen, I'm not going to let this thing control me. I'm not going to let this thing destroy me anymore, because I am a son or daughter, and I want to stand and look in the mirror and be set free and be the man or woman that God has called me to be. And so when you discover that the direction you're headed in isn't where you want to go, I challenge you, have the courage to step up and do something significant to stop it. The next blank in your outline, the habits that you have today will shape who you become tomorrow. Let that sink in. The habits you have today, the choices that you make today, are literally shaping who you will become tomorrow. I encourage you, get into a quiet place. Spend some time. And play your habits out in your mind. Unfold where they will likely take you in the next 5, 10, 15, or 20 years if you don't do something about it. Envision what it will look like. What could happen if you don't deal with it? Listen, I've counseled enough people over the course of the last 5 years, and this is the common thread that I hear over and over again. I had no idea how much this little thing was going to end up costing me. I never knew I would lose so much. I would give anything if I could go back and do it all over again. I never expected that I was going to lose my spouse. I never thought I was going to lose my children. I never thought I would lose my home. I never thought that I would lose my reputation. I talked to one individual who said, I didn't do it all at once. I didn't do the worst thing at the beginning. It was one small decision. It was one bad habit. I just let this little sin creep in here. And before long, I went so far and I lost everything. It cost me everything. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I love this verse. This gives us great hope. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Watch this. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Here's the good news this morning. God will give you the power to overcome. You can begin to break the cycle today. This morning, as I close, I challenge you to consider Samson. He took 56,250 steps in the wrong direction. But I want you to recognize that he also had 56,000 250 opportunities to stop, to turn around, to go the other way, to say, you know what, this isn't who I want to become. This isn't the life that I want. This isn't who God created me to be. God has created me for something more. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm going to change my ways. I'm not going to blame anyone else. I'm not going to point fingers at anyone else, but I'm going to step up and take responsibility for what I see in the mirror. I know for some of you, it seems that you have so far to go. When you consider your habit, when you think about your habit, you think, God, there's just no way I have drifted so far. There's no possible way. Watch this. Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Last blank in your outline, never underestimate how God can start something special through something as small as a single step. Do not despise these small steps. Don't despise an opportunity to walk into a high school auditorium where Jesus loved you so much that he laid it on my heart to preach a message as a warning light to somebody, maybe multiple somebodies in this room saying, warning, 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 beep, beep, beep. You're headed down the wrong path. Do not despise these small steps, these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see us take the step. Just imagine. Close your eyes for a moment. We sang just a minute ago, we're sons and daughters of the King. Just imagine God in heaven, our Heavenly Father, rejoices over you when you take that small step. God is up there, he's saying, hey, way to go, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for starting with the man or the woman in the mirror. Based on what you want to become, what habit today do you need to stop? As I wrap up this message this morning, for some people here, I want you to hear me. It's time to stop making excuses. It's time to quit putting off where you stand with God. And so if you're here this morning and you're tired of carrying the weight of your ugly habits, it's good news for you. You can leave here cleansed. You can leave here with a fresh start. You can leave here filled with his power, and you can be set free. That's why the gospel is called the good news. All you have to do to receive this new life in Christ is to repent, is to surrender, it's to give your life to Jesus. And so if you're ready to make that step, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're ready to make that step, I want to pray with you. So without hesitation, would you just lift your hands? Is there anybody here who says, you know what? I'm ready to say yes to Jesus today. Thank you. 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 Hands all over the place. Thank you. Thank you. This is the best decision that you'll ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that you love us and you care enough for us that you left your throne in glory, you came to earth and took on the debt, the sin payment that we deserve to pay. You paid the price so we don't have to live bound. You shed your blood. You were beaten. You were bruised. You were ridiculed. You were despised. All so that we can live in freedom. We don't have to be addicted. We don't have to be all the habits that we have that weigh us down and cause us to feel less. And you have paid the price so that we can be set free from it today. And so, Lord Jesus, right now, we give you our heart. Lord, and right now together we commit to stop walking down the path towards destruction. And instead, Lord, we do an about face. We repent in this moment forward, we're going to start walking closer to you. Lord God, I pray that we would be aware, Lord, Holy Spirit, in your beautiful conviction, that you would reveal to us the triggers that cause us to stumble. Many of us, we just live life at such a fast pace that we haven't stopped long enough. But Lord God, there's something there. Lord, would you just, the next time it happens, Holy Spirit, gently convict us to stop and move towards you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness. We're thankful for your goodness. And Lord God, today we can't change the past, but from this moment forward, we're going to look towards you and take a step in the right direction. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would meet us in that place. We ask all of this in your wonderful name, we pray. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.